This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Friday, and I am Glenn the Geek from a very wet Ocala, Florida.
I am Jamie Jennings, and it's very dry here in Arizona, Glenn. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's June 13th, episode 934, Friday the 13th, with a full moon. Ooh. It's brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday. Friday.
This is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Happy Friday.
Thank God it's Friday.
Well, good God Almighty, this week's been too much long. Lord, I love to hear that Friday 5 o'clock whistle moan. As the moon comes up and the sun goes.
Well, happy Friday the 13th, everybody. Welcome to the show. We're glad you're here. That is, if you can hear us and we're not, like, off the air or something blew up.
Why would we be off the air or something blew up? Can
it's
you hear
Friday
me,
Friday the 13th. It's Friday the
13th. Oh, gotcha.
Yes. We never know what's going to happen on a normal Friday, and today it's Friday the 13th.
It's definite craziness, and so yeah, I couldn't sleep last night because the moonlight was pouring into my house and all the cracks and crevices. It was like daylight out there. That was definitely one of those nights where you just, well, if I didn't have a baby, I would have gone out and ridden a horse just in the moonlight because it was so spectacular. I asked the baby would be fine in the house. I should have done it anyway.
Our listeners, I know, noticed on Facebook, went out and rode in the moonlight last night. So
really?
You weren't the only one thinking that, yeah. We haven't seen the moon or the sun in about 10 days. We're in the middle of monsoon season here. So every day the thunderstorms start to build. Usually we get them in the afternoon, you know, 3, 4 o'clock. This week it's been about 7 in the morning and then all day long. We heard the loudest thunder clap I have ever heard in my life. We were out in the barn yesterday, just brought the horses in because it was just getting worse and worse. And that thunder, it was lightning strike and then the thunder, and it was just the loudest I've ever heard. I don't know if it's because we were under an overhang or what, but it was one of those rattle your bones ones.
Wow. Wow. Well, I
welcome
sure
to
wish
sunny Florida, everybody that's here on vacation this week. I'm sure you had a wonderful time at Disney World in your ponchos.
Well, you know, at least I don't even remember what rain is like. So I think that probably does that keep the crowds out of Disney World at all?
No, they just go in their ponchos. Now, some of the rides aren't open and stuff, so they have that to deal with. And you know, this time of year, you have 2 hours of rain every afternoon regardless. This is just very unusual. We probably had 10 inches of rain in the last 3 or 4 days.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, it's very unusual. Now, here, it doesn't flood because it all just sinks in the sand, and 2 minutes later, it looks like it's never rained. So it's a little different than if we had 10 inches in Georgia where you lived, you know?
Yeah, yeah, or here. My gosh, that would be like flash flooding for sure.
Well, Jennifer, we have a show planned for this Friday the 13th. You need music.
You were going to make music, and you didn't.
I forgot.
You forgot.
What's another thing that happens on Friday the 13th?
He went to hot yesterday.
I am.
Yeah. It's been a long week. So.
I'm waterlogged.
Yes, you waterlogged. On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday the 13th edition, we will take another trip to visit the Woodbine Racetrack and find out what the folks behind the scenes do to make every day a lucky one, providing you don't bet the farm. And then it's off to the pony races with U.S. Pony Racing's Regina Walsh, and rounding the final turn and heading for home,
really bad ads, crosses the wire for the win. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to all of our listeners. Five of the shows on the Horse Radio Network broke download records in May, and we were up by listeners and downloads over 20% on all five of those shows. So the and that's directly attributed to the app really kicking in. So it's been out there for 3 or 4 months. We have probably close to 10,000 people that have downloaded it. So it's we're very happy about that.
Was,
yay!
Was this show one of the ones that broke 20%?
Yes.
Oh, yay!
Yeah.
That's all I care about, really. I don't care about the rest of other people.
Yep. We hit almost 38,000 listeners in May, this show.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
Yeah, there's actually somebody listening, Jamie. We keep we keep telling Jamie it's only 12 because so she won't ask for a raise. So.
Yeah, because all those listeners really translate to more money for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that hasn't helped a lot. But
no.
But anyway, thank you to everybody listening. We really, really appreciate it. Tell all your friends. Let's do another 20% in June.
Well, I have two Daily Winnies. Our first one goes out to Uta Shepherd, whose birthday is tomorrow. Hit the button, Glenn.
Oh. Uta!
Happy birthday! Happy birthday!
There we go. My next Daily Winnie goes out to all the people on Citrus at Bethany Home Road yesterday that stopped their cars to help me try to corral my loose horse. Oh, God.
I like where this is going already.
I thought you would like that, Jennifer. So yesterday, I've got one of the moms came over to watch Lucas while I took her daughter and a bunch of the girls on a trail ride, and we decided to explore, okay? There's a lot of organic farm fields around here, and so we decided that we were going to – I found a pathway, like, to enter one of the farm fields, even though you're not supposed to, but I thought, man, this is going to be, like, some awesome galloping lane all the way down. So we get on the road, we all walk down to the farm field, and they were having some sort of, like, fair this weekend, and so there was a big sign right in front of where we would, like, kind of all have to, like, funnel into this farm field. There was a big sign with balloons on it. So we obviously couldn't get through. So I'm on Edward, my awesome off-the-track thoroughbred, who's so brave. Psych. The wussiest horse you've ever known. But I'm like, I'll get off, I'll move the sign, we can all go into the field. At this point, I haven't noticed that they are what they do out here is they actually bring boxes of bees to fertilize all the fields. So they release.
Oh, no.
So at this point, I haven't even realized that. So I get off of Edward, and we're really right at a stop sign. There's a four-way intersection, and I'm trying to pull this sign out of the ground while holding on to the reins of my horse, who's standing at an intersection with mylar balloons coming off of this stupid sign that I'm trying to relocate. Well, I finally get this sign. And by the way, I do want to tell you, I had a bunch of 13-year-olds with me, really setting a shining example of horsemanship for those young girls. So I get the sign out of the ground, and it collapses because it's cardboard. I get, like, folds in half, makes this horrible noise. The balloons start going crazy, and Edward is like, peace out, I'm out. So Edward runs backwards. The reins are dragging on the ground, you know, and they're like my really nice bridle with my really nice rubber reins and not cheap. And he is like, and we're probably like half a mile from home. So he decides that he's going home with all his friends still over here. We had six horses with us. And so he decides he's going home.
So all the cars have to stop. Edward starts trotting down the road. Now, he is such a wuss that he is afraid of the double yellow line. Like, the yellow paint is out to get him. So he won't actually cross, like, straight across. He has to go around all the traffic and the cars and the lines. So he then hits the middle of the road, starts trotting home, and gets, like, and at this point, I'm like, I'm the riderless person with the helmet on walking down the middle of the street trying not to chase after my horse so he doesn't go bolting away. But Edward gets about a quarter of a mile home, halfway there, quarter of a mile down the road by himself, and realizes he's all alone. So then he turns around and comes galloping back to the herd, reins flying and hooked around his leg at one point. He comes galloping back, slams on the brake. We're talking four-way intersection with all these cars that are just trying to wait to see what's going to happen to the girl with her helmet on standing in the middle of the freaking intersection. So the horse comes running back, slams on the brake, slides across the pavement. Thank God. He comes right back to me because he's like, oh, my God, I was alone out there. He was running right back to me, didn't break a rein. Everything worked out fine. He didn't fall. And I grabbed hold of the reins, and I'm like, come on through. I start directing traffic like this happens all the time. Like nothing just happened. My heart rate wasn't 4 million. I wasn't having a panic attack of my horse getting hit by a car. I'm like, come on through. It's okay. We got it. No big deal.
Let me get this straight. Now, let me review. It's you out there with 5 13-year-old girls, and who's the one that ends up with the loose horse?
I really thought
one of the kids was getting dumped and one of their horses were going to be gone. But no. You're that girl.
I was that girl. And why I have the wimpiest thoroughbred in the history of the earth, and I'm trying to make this horse into an inventor. Like, he is just telling me I really don't want to event. I want to be a nice dressage pony because everything is too scary. We did end up, I mounted the 16-2 hand horse from the ground, mind you, as he was, his blood was up a little bit, obviously. And then we realized, we go trotting down the way, and then we realized there's all the bee boxes. So then we just had to turn around and go home. It was like a disaster. It just couldn't have gone any worse. But we made it home safe and sound. So there you go.
Full moon, baby. That's what happens.
Good time.
Or maybe it was the person leading the ride deciding to do something stupid. That could have been what it was.
I'm like, we're going to ride in the field. I have a babysitter. I'm like, stupid sign. I'll move.
You have an entire desert to ride in.
I know.
Right across the street. Thousands of miles of desert. And you have to go down that one road with the sign blocking the way.
Don't worry. The sign is still on the ground. And I told the
girls,
I'm like,
they love you for that,
by
the way.
Morning. I'll put it back up. I'll put it back up. It could have just blown over, right? Yeah.
Funny. Well, our first guest is going to be coming up here in a minute, but I wanted to mention before we get to that you said your horse might be a dressage horse. He's going to have a little bit to live up to because British rider in Canada at the Ottawa Dressage Festival riding a youngster, he was in the youngster class, which they call the material, for 3 and 4 year old horses, and it consists of 30 points for confirmation, 20 points for the walk, trot, and canter, and 10 for general impression. And this horse, by the name of Jazzbeat, written by Neil McIntosh, came out with 100% in the dressage test. It's the first time they say that it's been recorded that a rider gets 100% in like an official dressage show.
Okay, so it's not like they scored each movement. There was a general impression the way the horse moved. That's incredibly impressive.
Yeah, he was very excited. He said, I knew he was doing, he was going well, but I had no crazy expectations. It was his first competition, Jamie.
Oh, God, I hate that guy. He's a 4-year-old.
class three and 4 year old, his first competition. He goes out there, he's perfect. Why do I always have the horse at his first competition that I have to gallop in 5 meter circles repeatedly to get him a little tired because he's so crazy? Oh God. Some people.
Well, let's go to our first guest, who I believe is ready, and this is part of our Behind the Scenes at Woodbine series, and we have John with us, who's in the communications department at Woodbine Entertainment Group, part of the Woodbine Racetrack up there in Canada. We did the first part of this series last week, and we're going to continue it this week with John. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
We're very well. I'm a lifelong lover of horses, so it's a great segment for me to be on.
Well, terrific. Now, let's talk a little bit. You're in the communications department, and, you know, you've had some challenges, actually. We talked a little bit about it last week with your counterpart. You've had some challenges up there in Canada because of what's been going on politically and otherwise with racing. But so exactly what is your job? Do you try and get more people out to bet at the track? What's your overall job?
Right. You know, just think of the classic public relations job that one might have, and that's the one I have. Now, with regards to horses and horse racing, I mean, there has been a challenge in the last few years, you know, for some time. And but I enjoy it immensely. Like, being a lover of horses from the time I was very young to the time where I was in university and went to the racetrack, to the time where I got my job with Woodbine soon after my time in school, and 20 plus something like that years later, you know, I've continued on with this gig, and it's been very rewarding. Woodbine has been a tremendous place to work with, and the types of people that I get to deal with every day, including true media professionals, all the way down to trainers, owners, jockeys, grooms, and hot walkers, and it's just such a rewarding, interesting gig, and to be able to promote racing, promote horses, in my career has been tremendously fascinating, and you know, and everybody across all walks of life within the industry has got a story to tell, as you know, and I do my best to try and get people to tell those stories in via media, and with Woodbine, and quite obviously with other racetracks, there's dramatic differences in platforms over the last 20 some years, and you know, we always wanted to be in the paper 20 years ago. Now we want to, yes, you know, we wanted to have a website 7 years ago, you know, and now we're on social media is dominant. So I think my job is to facilitate those stories as the best that we can, and your point about the challenges that we've had with the government, you know, might be improving. Like, it could be going back the other way. It could be sort of improving to where we have a stable industry and be able to thrive going forward. So that's
what do you guys do? What do you do at the track to try and bring new people out? You know, us horse lovers, we all go out to the track every once in a while. You know, we hang out there, and then you have, let's take the avid bettors and the handicappers, right, out of the picture, who you know are going to show up.
Right.
What do you guys do? Do you do anything special to try and get the new people out?
Right. Our favorite thing right now is Hats and Horseshoes Party. I'll speak to one thing for now, and that's our Hats and Horseshoes Party on Queen's Plate Day. What we've had some challenges with here is to try and apply a similar concept that they do with the big races across the world, Ascot, Australia, France, you know, Louisville. You know, these sort of big races across the world are very well promoted for the non-racing fan. They are, you know, they're dressed up a certain way. It doesn't have to be about the core gambler on those particular days. And we're in the middle of a program that was very, very successful last year and that we're trying to apply this year in getting people to come to the racetracks to enjoy themselves. And the concept is having hats and fashion and food and bloggers and red carpets and just overall just an understanding of that you can come to the racetrack and enjoy yourself by watching the horses prance around in the walking ring, that you can enjoy yourselves by looking at the program as part of handicapping. You can enjoy the food. So this concept was a wild success last year, and we hope to apply that again this year. And again, it's just in 3 weeks or so, and we feel it will be. And I think that's important to start, is trying to get the non-racing fan into the building, and a horse-loving non-racing fan into the building, and allow them to see what it is that we actually got here, because it's a nice facility, very modern. And right within the city limits of Toronto, a big city across the world, and we're trying to not only attract the player, the horse player, which is a focus, but on these big days, bring in the horse loving non-racing fan.
So, is there, as an avid racing fan myself, and I love playing the horses, the people that come in off of the street that are learning about racing, is there a way to kind of educate them? You mentioned looking at the program.
Yeah.
Is there a way to educate them as to what they're looking
at? Which, by the way, confuses
right.
the hell out of me.
Right. No, it's well said. That's an excellent question. I think the industry has struggled for decades on this issue. And what is it that people want to see to allow them to play the races better? I mean, I don't think we have figured out a single performance figure is a nice concept, but it's not having people understand what all the other nuances of an actual race brings about, and. I think we struggle with that. So I think reducing it to the base level of how to read a program is probably the best approach. So in other words, if a horse here non-racing fan, just look at this. This horse ran on this date, he ran this fast, and he finished this position. And try and get people to sort of develop their handicapping acumen. If you've been to the racetrack, for all the non-racing people I've hosted, you take them and they're scared to make a $2 win bet. They haven't figured out what a win bet is, and then they realize, oh geez, is that all you have to do? Pick a horse? Let me look at the program. Oh, you know what? I like the color. And then the second race, they'll say, what's this win place show? What's this across the board? What does that mean? And then they
I got to tell you, I'm still a little intimidated when I go to the window. Maybe it's just me, but I'm still a little intimidated because every time I go, I get it wrong. I always say the horse wrong, the race wrong, or I get them in the wrong order, and then they correct me. And
you got to write it down, Glenn. Come on, that's a you problem, buddy.
No, but I mean, I always say I'm like you're supposed to say it in a certain order, and I never get it in the right order. And
I think, in all frankness, I think the self-serve terminals are helping that way. Like, if you can work a computer, which some of us can't, you can actually go onto a screen and type $2, win, 9. And,
yeah.
And that helps people. That allows people to take their time in actually playing the races.
I'm just superstitious, though. Like, if I win a race, whoever I bought the ticket from, I go back to them all day long. I'm kind of superstitious. Yes, I don't know why I'm weird like that. I'm like, hello again, it's me. I love talking to people like that. So you mentioned, I wanted to get back to this, you mentioned that you spend the day kind of interacting with every single person on the track, be
right.
it from the hot walkers, jocks, trainers.
Right.
Who do you think the most kind of interesting group of people on the track is?
Wow, that's what a fascinating question. It's probably, I hate to sound cliche about it, but it's probably the jockeys. Do you,
really?
You understand what the jockeys do for a living? They are riding, 1,000-pound animals, 900-pound animals, 1,100-pound animals, and they're such elite-level athletes. They're elite-level horsemen. And they have to be obscenely agile to be able to do their job. all the while they have an ambulance following them. And pound for pound, if you look at some of the people, some of the physiques of the individual jockeys, you think, oh my God, you know, they're 115 pounds, whatever you want to, 112 pounds, and they're cut to the bone. They're so fit that you think, wow, what a remarkable set of people. Now,
there's a reason most of them have broken bones.
Right.
That's the reason. Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. The one part I wanted to relay on that is you talk about they're horse people, right? They're essentially at the base level, they're horse people, but they have to deal with media. They have to deal with the public at some level and relay what they're saying about their profession. And it's less so in the world of trainers and grooms and hot walkers. But to answer the question, it's probably the jockeys that are the most specifically famous.
They're the ones that we enjoy having on the most too. Over all the trainers and everything, the jockeys seem to be the ones that you can really get the truth out of jockeys too. They really tell it the way it is because their life deals with the way it is. They have to deal with one reality right after another all day long.
And they can be dead honest too. You know,
yeah,
they have
they
a
are.
Trouble, right? You know, for all the challenges that they have, they say what those challenges are.
Exactly. Well, John, before we run out of time, I wanted to ask you about the Queen's Plate. When is that? Tell us a little bit about that, because that, in the United States here, that's something that a lot of people may not have heard about.
Right. I mean, the way I've played it down is just think of the Kentucky Derby in Canada. It certainly is not at that level, but we portray it as that, and in reality it is. So it's our biggest horse race. It's mile quarter for Canadian bred horses, 3-year-olds, and it's on July 6th. And as I said earlier, the key, we're trying to make it a bigger event for the non-racing people, for the casual sports fan, and we're showing some success with it with this party. This party is all just wrapped right around the walking ring. It's quite a fascinating scene. There's the walking ring. These horses are prancing around, getting ready for the race, and all these food trucks and fashion trailers and red carpets are happening right adjacent to the actual walking ring. So it's quite a fascinating scene, and we're looking forward to it. Get some good weather, we get a really big crowd, and we'd be on our way. But that's our biggest day. That's the day that everybody's interested in.
And has the one other question? Has the Queen ever come to Queen's Plate?
Oh yeah. We've had four. The Queen has come in 1959, 1973, and 2010. So that's Queen Elizabeth II, the current reigning monarch.
Yep.
And King George VI came back way back in 1939 when the race was called the King's Plate, because whoever the reigning monarch is, the race is named after the queen or the king.
Ah, well, that's really awesome. Cool.
I didn't
that's
know
July
that.
The 6th,
Did
right?
you not know that? Yeah.
Yeah.
So from about 2000, from about 1911 to 1950-something, it was the King's Plate, because the reigning monarch was King George VI. King George VI passed. His daughter was next in the hierarchy. So Queen Elizabeth II has been the reigning monarch, so it's been the Queen's Plate ever since. Now, with Prince Charles' son, I've forgotten his name now.
William.
William, I'm sorry. I remember Kate, but...
they're going to kick you out of the country up there.
Everybody remembers Kate. Everybody remembers
right.
Kate.
Yeah,
that's right.
So it will be called the King's Plate soon after that. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, all right, where can we find out, where can people go to find out more about Woodbine?
Several spots, woodbineracetrack.com, Queen's Plate, if you're interested, queensplate.com. Our Twitter is at Woodbine Racing. My specific Twitter handle is jciscoswomo. I think the websites are the key spot to get to, and then if you need more detail, they'll give you plenty of links to get to where you need to get to.
All right, John, thank you so much. And, of course, we'll be continuing our series here behind the scenes at Woodbine as the summer goes along. They're going to be joining us with other people from the track, and we're looking forward to that coming up. And, of course, that's Woodbine Entertainment Group out of Canada. You know, after we did this the last time, I heard from Rhonda and several of our other Canadian listeners who had all been there many times. So it's kind of neat that we're doing that. And, of course, we have a lot of Canadian listeners. So, and hopefully, you know, if we go up for the WEG, we can stop by Woodbine on the way. You know, when we go to Bromont.
Yes, I actually would probably want to spend more time at Woodbine than I would Bromont.
Sorry. Oh, I did find out, Rhonda, after we talked about this on the show the other day and how we were all going to stay at her house, she said she's 5.5 hours from WEG. So it's going to be kind of tough to make the 8 o'clock starts if we're staying at her house.
Just,
so we have to find the listeners that are closer.
Yeah, just like you said, it's, you know, it could be, we have no idea. It could be the difference between New York and California. What the hell? We don't know.
It was. And I talked to Philip on the Dressage Show, and he's 6 hours, so that's not going to help us. But Reese and Philip came up with an idea. They said all the hosts for the Horse Radio Network have to rent RVs, and we'll find some field to park in up there, and we'll all just go have an RV party during the WEG. I kind of like that idea.
Sounds
that
good.
Could be fun. Yeah, that would be fun.
I got a horse trailer with living quarters. I'm ready to drive. Let's go.
Now, I did hear from the horseball people. Remember, we were talking about that the other day. They heard the show, and they're only an hour away and said that they could make plenty of room available on all the floors in their house for us. So we have an option with the horseball people. So that's a possibility. And we could be coming to them, you know, we could be coming to you live from the national headquarters of horseball. Now, that's the ladies' living room. But
from their carpet.
But they were very nice. They said they would, they said because we fed them at the last WEG, they would feed us. So we could have Chinese coming up. We're going to take a break for our commercial. We're going to hear from Canadian Chinese. Well, we fed them American Chinese. So we're coming back right after this word from Kentucky Performance Products. And Jennifer, do we know if our next guest is confirmed? We don't know.
We are still awaiting, but we'll cross our fingers.
Okay. All right, good.
You can count on Kentucky Performance Products to provide scientifically formulated, research-proven products that target specific challenges facing your horse. In the spring and summertime, one of those challenges is the heat. Horses sweat, and when they do, they lose critical electrolytes, electrolytes that play a major role in optimal performance. Loss of electrolytes can cause fatigue, muscle weakness, and dehydration. Horses offered supplemental electrolytes have less stress-related problems. They rebound from exercises sooner and return to feed quicker after exercise. Summer Games electrolytes from Kentucky Performance Products were developed for the elite athletes competing at the 1996 Atlanta Olympics. Its research-proven formula replaces the electrolytes and trace minerals lost when horses sweat. Its concentrated low-sugar formula provides more electrolytes per dose than many leading brands. When your horse sweats, replenish his losses with Summer Games electrolytes. Brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, helping you keep your horses healthy, sound, and competitive. Visit them at kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com.
Well, thank you to Kentucky Performance Products. You can also find them on Facebook. Just search for Kentucky Performance Products. They're all the time posting really good stuff over there. Well, Jamie, when is your trip anyway? You're going to someplace in the middle of nowhere in the mountains riding.
I am going to the middle of the Frank Church Wilderness. It's actually in 2 months, Glenn, 2 months. So that's too many sleeps to start coming.
Oh, I thought it was like
coming.
Soon.
I don't know. No, it's August because August is the most god-awful month in Phoenix. So we decided to dip out and go up to Idaho, which it doesn't sound like a place that you would want to go on vacation, Idaho. Like, who goes to Idaho? Well, place is incredible. It's called the Diamond D Ranch. It's the premier all-inclusive guest ranch. It's in the Frank Church Wilderness. surrounded by the Salmon River Mountains. If you guys want to check it out, it's DiamondDRanch-Idaho.com. Don't just Google Diamond D Ranch, because I did that. And there was a Facebook video or a YouTube video. Glenn, you're going to laugh. So I'm like, oh, it's a riding at the Diamond D Ranch. So I started watching the video. It was the worst horsemanship I'd ever seen, and I was like, oh, no, what have I gotten myself into? Like, there's a girl on a pony, and this other girl gallops up behind her, slams, pulls the horse in the mouth, like, welcome to the Diamond D Ranch. And then they go galloping around. It was the worst horsemanship ever, and I realized it's actually really close to you, Glenn. It's in Florida. This one. I was like, oh, thank God, this is where I'm going.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. I was like, those don't look like mountains. Those look like flat, grassy pastures. So anyway, don't just Google Diamond D Ranch. It's DiamondDRanch-Idaho.com. We'll post a link on our Facebook page. But it is, like I said before, it's like a grown-up summer camp. They do horseback riding, fly fishing, hiking, gold panning. I'm going to make millions because I'm going to pan for gold and find, like, the gold stash. You can do swimming. They got a pool. They have babysitters. They have, like, you know, you can hang out and they do, like, adult activities at night. But, again, they have to take care of your kids. There's even pictures I've seen on Facebook of, like, seven-year-olds out riding horses. So they really get the kids involved in everything that they do. They do weddings. The food is amazing. This is one of those vacations you go on and you're like riding horses all day, but you come home fatter than when you left because the food is so good. I'm going to put on weight on this vacation.
Isn't it all run by women?
Yes, it's two sisters that run the whole place. And actually, where they do weddings, there's like a little chapel thing, church. The two sisters' mom made it out of stone, like stone by stone. It's like a very, very family-oriented facility. And the guy, Kara, is the one who runs it with her sister. And her husband is a fighter pilot, which is how we kind of got to know
cool.
This group. Yeah, and so Chad will have somebody to talk to and go fishing with. Then I'm going to hang out with the girls and ride horses. So if you want to find out more, Diamond D Ranch -idaho.com is where you want to check it out. They've got the website's great, tons of pictures. I'm so excited to go. It's kind of off the grid. It's remote enough to be kind of give yourself a break from technology, but it is not so far away where if something, you know, you could go back to the city, no problem. So check it out. I'm so excited. 2 months. 2 months. I can't take it. Two more months.
Well, you know,
Diamond
you're
going
to have
Ranch,
to. Oh, you can. I was going to say you're going to have to call and give us a live report from the top of the mountain, but you probably won't have any cell phone reception. So.
Oh well, no, I won't. But they said that there's a satellite phone I could use. I'm like, okay.
There you go.
Go to the top of the hill. You'll hear me.
That's
out
in the middle
in,
of nowhere.
Oh yeah, I'm excited.
Cool. Very good. Well, that's fun. Well, our next guest is ready. We're going to talk. Everybody knows I love ponies. I have my little rescue pony Scooter, a little Hackney, and he's doing very well driving. But he is the laziest Hackney pony I've ever met in my life. He just, you know, I have to really push him to get him to move along and to have any extension at all when I'm driving. I mean, he is just lazy. But there are some ponies that are not lazy, and they're the ones doing something that's so cool. We talked about a little bit here on the show, but we've never had anybody on to discuss it, and that's pony racing. And they did it at Devon this year, Shetland Pony Races, and we have Regina Walsh on from U.S. Pony Racing. Good morning, Regina.
Good morning.
Hey, this is so much fun. I love ponies, and who doesn't like to see ponies racing with kids on board?
Well, you know, we try to keep it fairly in control, but and then it looks fun. But sometimes it can get a little crazy, but we try and keep the kids
okay,
in line.
Okay, you have children, Shetland ponies, running fast. How much in control can you make it?
Well, you know, we actually do a lot of pride. There's a lot that goes into this, a lot of prep work before we actually
tell
you
us,
actually
tell
see
us
the
about
fish.
That. Yeah,
product.
Tell us about that.
I started doing this. I grew up, you know, showing Shetlands and driving them and all that good stuff. So I've been involved in the racing industry for, you know, at least 20 years now. You know, I'm a licensed steeplechase trainer, and I ran the North American Point-to-Point Association as their executive director for 13 years, and then the last couple of years I started U.S. Pony Racing to kind of carry on their mission. They were a nonprofit, and they closed their doors, and a big part of what I did for them was teach kids about race riding, mostly over fences, but, you know, we got to start focusing on just some flat stuff first before they sort of go to the little mini steeplechases that we do. But so I just had this idea. I did start Shetland Pony flat racing specifically for Shetland ponies probably about 4 or 5 years ago at some of the venues that I was working with, some of the local point-to-point races. And so that really kind of caught on, and it was great for me to bring back the Shetland kind of back into the swing of things. They're kind of a dying breed a little bit. The classic kind of, now they call them the foundation type, but the big Thelwell type of pony that you see, you imagine when you think about Shetland, has kind of gone to the wayside. So
you know,
that brings that
that's kind of
type of the breed
that's
back.
Kind of sad, because if you're of our age, you know,
Shetland.
I know.
I grew up with
all
one.
That people. Yeah, everybody grew up with a Shetland. If you're over 30 years old, you had a Shetland as your first pony.
I know. Yeah. Well, and I'm not trying to knock the other Shetlands really, but if you go to the Shetland Pony Club of America website, they look like little Arabians. I mean, it doesn't look anything like what you think they should look like. So, and they're different. It's kind of like Welsh. You know, you have Section A, Section B. You know, stuff like that. So there are different types of Shetlands in America. So we're really, my focus is really on the foundation type, which is promoted by the Shetland Pony Society of North America. They sort of broke off from, and they're still involved with the American Shetland Pony Club, but their concern is really promoting the old school breed. So long story short, you know, I love this type of pony. It's what everybody's learned to ride on, or I did anyway as a kid and all my peers. So I don't want to see that go to the wayside. So this has been a great way to kind of reintroduce that pony, and now everybody's looking for one, you know, like, and they're really hard to find. So, but we're kind of, they're resurfacing slowly but surely, and these kids all, you know, they have a connection with me. You can't just enter the race on the day. These kids, I approve their pony. They usually come to me before they buy the pony just to make sure it's we're going to allow them to race, because I don't allow everyone to participate because of major safety issues. Some ponies just aren't suitable for it, you know. So we're really looking for super well-rounded pony that can go to pony club one weekend and the race the next.
Well, I was trying to think of whether my Shetland pony would have been suitable, and absolutely not. My pony was suitable for nothing except for bucking me off. But I got to ask you, you said you grew up with a Shetland pony. I always love to find out what people name their Shetland ponies. So what was your Shetland pony's name?
I sort of came into the Shetland world a little later. So the one that I owned was, I got him as a foal. And I showed his mother. Her name was Only Whoopi, and this was her second foal. And she's still alive, actually. She's like 32 years old, Only Whoopi. And her second foal, his name's Only Doo-Wop. So all the names kind of, the Only Farm ponies, they're named by like alphabetical order, so you can kind of figure out how old they are pretty quickly. So he was born in the D year. Whoopi was born in the W year. I think they've been through the alphabet at least one and a half turns since I've been around, you know, involved with them.
Yeah.
But then she had Frolic, and, you know, Laughter was her mother, and, you know, so they're all kind of, you know, they try and really keep the names, but I named him, but they try and keep the names kind of along the same lines of whatever the mom, you know, the breeding name is.
Gotcha. Yeah. So we had a Shetland pony that was given to me by the summer camp because he was like 25 and really, really nasty and awesome. I mean, perfect for me.
Nasty and awesome. That sounds great.
Oh, yeah. He was terrible. And I loved him more than anything. And so his name was Peter. And then we went to an auction to get Peter a little friend, and we found a Shetland pony being auctioned off. I think it paid $30 for her, and so we named her Piper. So I had Peter and Piper. They were both little Shetland. And I loved them. And we turned out to find out, come to find out that Piper is unbroke and two. So,
hopefully you didn't find out the hard way.
Of course I did, girl. Like, I was trying them out at an auction that came in. I was like, I want that pony. My mom's like, okay, you know, it's what you did when you're an ignorant city-owning pony owner, you know. So we bought the pony, and it was totally unbroken and unhandled. But you know what? I really think that she missed her calling. She would have done Shetland pony racing perfectly.
Nice. Yeah, I always – sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, so you did this at Devon. Did you have one race at Devon? Was there multiple races?
Well, you can check us out on our Facebook page, U.S. Pony Racing, and then we also have Shetland Pony Racing is another Facebook page that we have for it. But we did two races, and the first race went great. We had, I think, seven in each race. Our second race, we had a couple of a couple topples off, but one was sort of a girth that hadn't been tightened enough, and then the other one was the kid lost both stirrups at the start. So it was just stuff happened. So it was unfortunate, but both kids were fine. There are tons of photos on the Facebook page, and it's been amazing media coverage. We had two back-to-back races, and we also. This is part of the Washington International Horse Show Shetland Pony Steeplechase Championship Series. So this was the first two races in the series. And then we'll be the kids will be competing on Thursday night and Saturday night at the Washington International Horse Show in Washington, D.C.
Cool.
In October, yes. So
well, they all look cute as Dickens in their little jockey silks.
We make them use an overgirth. Just like we try and really, I mean, there's a lot that goes into this. A lot of practicing. They practice the start. You know, they school their ponies. They've jumped over these jumps tons of times before, in a group, alone. You know, they have to be able to do it all. And they all wear safety vests. Sometimes we get some comments when the kids are a little too big, but I don't think what people realize is. If they took off everything they were wearing, they wouldn't look so big. Those silks kind of fill up with air when they're whizzing around out there. And then also they have this safety vest on underneath that makes them bulk up, look a little bulked up, too.
Are you kidding?
So,
are you kidding? Shetland ponies have had much bigger than that. Those riders.
Well,
are.
We know that, but, you know, we always want to make sure that they're not carrying too much weight. You know, we definitely take that into consideration because the public, you know, what everybody does at home is one thing, but the public is, you know, we need to keep in mind what they're going to think, too. So.
Well, okay, we've run out of time here. It's U.S. Pony Racing on Facebook. I just looked it up, and you also said Shetland Pony Racing or Shetland Racing?
Yes, Shetland Pony Racing.
Okay.
And you can see it's at the Washington International Horse Show this fall in October and also at the Royal Canadian Horse Show in November in Canada, in Toronto.
Well, how cool. Very good. I'm glad you're doing this.
Yeah,
it's so much fun to see something different and something fun for the kids to get involved with and something that the little boys can wrap their minds around.
Exactly. It's another thing to add on to keep the kids interested in horses and out of trouble.
Good job, girl. We give you a round
All
of
right.
applause.
Thank you so much,
job.
Guys.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Have a great day. Keep...
That was fun.
Oh, my
I
gosh.
I can see you when you were a kid doing that. You would have had a blast with that.
That would have been my most favorite thing of all time if I could have had that. My Shetland pony, like I said, one of them was just, he was an old camp horse that Peter was, and he knew how to buck everybody off. Like, I mean, he was amazing at that. And so I really learned to stick with him. And he was so small by the time I got him, I could almost hook my feet underneath his belly. But then I got Piper, who was an amazing challenge. And by the way, Peter lived till he was like 48 years old. I mean, it was incredible. But I got Piper. When she came into the auction, they thought they were funny. And you talked about weight of horses. There was a giant cowboy sitting on her and rode her in with, like, a halter and lead rope, you know. And so So we bought her. We get her home. I hop on her, and she just drops her head and bolts. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah. So So she's not broke. I mean, and I didn't even use that terminology when I was a kid. I was like, I was on the ground. I'm like, I'm going to ride that pony. Get her back over here. My mom like had to go catch her. It was a disaster. It's like having your horse in traffic on the main road.
But you know what? You learn how to stick. You know, because of that pony, you can stay on for the full 8 seconds on Jet now.
Yeah, exactly. I learned it from riding Shetland.
That's right. Hey, it's Friday the 13th. Let's switch gears a little bit. You know, full moon, Friday the 13th. Jennifer came up with this list that she found on ultimatehorsesite.com of horse superstitions from the old days. So you want to hear some of these? We'll talk about these. What perfect thing for Friday the 13th. The first one's kind of, I didn't know this, so keep this in mind. You live out there in the West, you know, where the Wild West, where the gunslingers were. Well, when you're wearing your cowboy hat, Jamie, it's very, very bad luck to put it on your bed. Apparently, one year during the National Finals Rodeo, a cowboy's mother had accidentally placed his hat on the bed. The next day, he showed up to compete in a smashed hat. Apparently, if your hat goes onto a bed and you're superstitious, you have to throw your hat outside and stomp on it until you knock the bad luck out of it. So he apparently put it on the ground outside and proceeded to stomp it to death and then put it back on his head and went in and rode. But so it's very bad luck to put your hat, cowboy hat, on the bed.
I knew it was bad luck to put hats on the bed, period. I'm kind of a
stickler
about that. Yeah, it's bad luck to put hats on the bed.
Like
don't put your hat on the bed.
Baseball hat, I do that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to even tell you because it'll ruin it for you. You'll never put a hat on bed. It, like, represent, it means, like, death is coming if you put a hat on a bed. So I can see where the cowboy hat would be very bad luck, but I didn't know that I could just take my ball cap outside and stomp it, and then it'll be fine.
I'm
going
to have to go out and stomp all my hats now. I'll be right back. I'm going to go do that.
I know, right? Trust me. I didn't even want to learn it. Okay. This next one is weird. How would you know?
It's widely believed that a horse that stepped in a wolf print would be crippled. I don't know. You'd have to be a tracker to know if your horse stepped in a wolf print. I don't know that either. You know,
cause and effect one there, Glenn. My horse is lame. Oh, he must have stepped in a wolf print. See?
Yeah,
back when,
there you go.
I knew the next one. Back when everybody was driving horses, everybody had harnesses on, and you've seen this before, a horse brass is that little thing that is on the bridle that's on the horse's forehead. You see the Clydesdales and the Clydesdale Hitch have them, and they'll have, like Disney has them, and they have a D in it for Disney and stuff. It hangs on the bridle, and it's on the horse's forehead. It's a little brass piece. Well, apparently horse brasses were... Yeah, that's what they're called. We're used to protect horses from witches. So you could keep the witches away by having this little brass thing on your horse's forehead.
Okay. Now, this is my problem. This is why I get what I get.
And we've all done it. Changing a horse's name is considered bad luck. I've changed almost every horse we've ever gotten's name.
Yeah, see, I don't buy it because it depends. Like, if my horse came from a really crappy place, which is usually where they all come from, really, really crappy places, I say that they get a new name with their new start.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't buy that one.
Okay.
This is one on this list that's going to gross you out. Eating a hair from a horse's forelock is a cure for worms.
Yeah,
that's your worms, not the horses.
Your worms are the horse's worms.
To clarify, it's your worms. I don't see how eating one hair, maybe a whole bunch of hair, would, you know, like clean the system out as it's going through. I don't get the one hair thing.
Ew, gross.
Now, I've heard this one before. Horses standing with their backs to a hedge means it's going to rain. I have heard that, or a fence or a building. Means it's going to rain. Have you heard that one before?
No, but you can usually tell when all the horses kind of stand against the wind that it's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Our growing up, it was if they're all facing the same direction, it meant it was going to rain. Yeah.
Oh,
same
okay.
idea.
Yeah. Yep.
The next one's gross. If you put a bit of a horse hoof into a microwave, it will turn into bubble gum.
See, I got a couple comments about this one. Why exactly is this a horse superstition? Like, this is on the list of horse superstitions. Put a hoof in the microwave and it'll turn into bubble gum. First of all, I never am going to eat bubble gum ever again. Second of all, who microwaves hooves and tries that out? Third of all, see, this is why to not use microwaves, because it makes things
you
weird.
And your microwave thing, you're the bizarrest woman I've ever met.
I'm telling you.
You and that
there's
microwave
no reason
thing.
To use a microwave.
You could live without
it's
a microwave.
It's unnatural.
The
walls
without
are
a
not
microwave.
Hot. Whatever you're microwaving, it boils, Glenn, and the walls are cool. There's no reason to use a microwave. I'm telling you, it's going to be the death of you. Sorry.
The
carry
next
on.
Time that you're out and about and you get – now, we have snakes. As a matter of fact, Wayne said that they've now gotten 2 or 3 rattlesnakes in the neighborhood again this year to start the season. So, and I know you guys have them like crazy out there in Arizona. So if you get bit by a snake, apparently the cure for it is to sit backwards on a donkey.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay. Good to know.
So, you know, you have donkeys in your neighborhood. If you get by the snake, run over to the neighbor's yard, hop on the donkey backwards, and you're cured. You know, snake bite venom anti-venom is very expensive. Well, that one lady, remember, she had to get like 12 shots and it cost her $300,000. She should have just sat on a donkey backwards. She'd have been all healed.
How did she not know that? I mean, come on.
I don't know. By the way, it also cures toothaches. So if you ever have a toothache, just find a donkey, sit on it backwards. The next one's kind of gross. It sounds like something out of a mafia movie. If you put horse skulls under the floor of the house near the piano, the tone of the piano will be better.
That's bizarre.
Wow.
Like a horse head, like the skull of a horse.
Yes.
Put it
under
your
floor
and it makes the piano stay in tune.
Yeah. Yeah, and exactly how did that one come to be? Somebody had to try it.
Right.
To make it I had heard this one before. Seeing a gray horse on the way to church is considered lucky for the bride and groom, and it's the reason that a lot of the carriage companies use gray horses for weddings.
Really?
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
I didn't know that. I always heard that it was good luck if you went by a field, you were driving by a field of horses, and one of them was peeing, and you saw one of the horses peeing, it was good luck.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds like the sort of thing a parent would make up on a road trip with a car full of kids.
Hey, yeah, you see the horses peeing. If it is, it's good luck.
Just a couple more, and we have to get on with really bad ads. But this is one, if you have a mare, that to keep in mind, that copper pennies in a tank, in a water tank, will prevent moody behavior in mares. So apparently if your mare is moody, hey, my sister-in-law has a moody mare. We've never tried this. We just should take some Well, first of all, you have to find some pennies that are actually copper, which you'll have to go back about 100 years. Yeah, exactly. You can find some old pennies and throw them in the tank, and we'll see. The theory was that the copper, you know, dissolves into the water and, you know, helps cure the mare of something. I don't know. I have definitely heard of the next one. We'll end with this one. A horseshoe hung in the bedroom will keep nightmares away. Now, I've also heard a horseshoe hung in the bedroom will make you more fertile. So if you're trying to keep nightmares away and not have a baby, don't do it, because we don't know which one of the myths the things is correct.
You'll have the best dreams and have the best pregnancy ever.
Exactly.
I do like the last one. I put this one to the test. One white
All
foot
right.
by the horse. 2 white feet, try the horse. 3 white feet, look about him. 4 white feet, do without him. I love that. And I started noticing that, like, California Chrome has 4 white feet. And so, really, this one has been knocked off. Unless that's
Scooter has 4 white feet, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I
yeah.
think it's been disproven.
Yes. That's right. Scooter and California Chrome, break that mold.
Yep.
You notice how I just put Scooter in the same category as California Chrome? It's not
that in. It took me a second, but I was going to let it go.
Do you want to do a song or go right into really bad ads? What do you want to do?
What's the song?
90 Miles an Hour from Jeff Dawson.
Let's go into really bad ads. It's long.
Oh, good. We get done soon, too. Yeah, let's do that one. Something like this.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads. And we are going to do Really Bad Ads today, and it is brought to you by Equity, MFG.com. And, of course, Equity is the company that we all use their manure forks because they are the best manure forks out there. And I got to tell you a little story. You know how Joseph is always telling us, Jamie, that we shouldn't say they're indestructible because eventually anything will break?
Yes.
One of our listeners posted on Facebook, and I'm trying to find Diana Brooks posted on Facebook, and I'm calling you out, Diane, that she has had her Equity Flex and Fork for 2 years, and the head has now cracked. Now, I asked Diane, yes, I know, it's shocking, isn't it? But I asked Diane about that, and I said, can you post some pictures? So she did. She posted some pictures of the head of the thing, and sure enough, it looks like she has put this manure fork through the ringer and back. I mean,
oh my gosh.
It looks. You can take a look on her Facebook page under posts by others. You can see that this manure fork, the paint or whatever it is, the color has been worn off of the head. She has used this so hard over the last 2 years. Now she said, "This is no shame." And she said, I thought she was going to really bust on us for saying, you know, that they're indestructible. She said, I've been using this for 2 years. I use it hard. And you know what she did? She turned around the day it cracked and ordered a 3-pack to replace it. So she has now ordered a 3-pack of manure forks from Equity of the Flex and Fork to replace it. She said, no shame. It owes me nothing. It's a terrific product. So apparently we finally have found a listener that has proved our indestructible wrong and Joseph right. They can break after a couple of years of really hard use. She said she expected it to break over the winter when she was doing all the frozen manure, but she said, nope, it waited till summer, so it got her through 2 years. What other manure fork do you buy at the local pack shop that will last you that long and use it that hard? So hard,
you know,
that the color is coming out of the fork.
I know, right? Well, I was at the Ace Hardware, and they had on special the manure forks that, you know, the really crappy wooden handle ones, but they were like on special for like $12.99, so like $13, and people were looking around at them, and I went up to this group of total strangers, and I'm like, hey, guys, so I know it's on sale, but it's going to break in like a month. So you're going to really be wasting your $13. I'm like, equitymfg.com. It's like a manure fork that does not break. So if you all of a sudden, I wrote the website down for a bunch of people. I'm like, I gave them total strangers at the Ace Hardware. I took away business from Ace. So Joseph, if you get a bunch of random orders from places in Arizona, it's because I was talking people off the ledge. I was like, don't do it. Don't do it.
You know, what's funny is you have more guts than I do. I actually thought, but it was a smaller tack shop, and the checkout counter was, like, within earshot. And I saw people over there at the manure forks, and I was so tempted to go over and tell them. But I was right near the checkout. So what was I going to do, right?
I was right next to checkout, too. What's that teenage girl going to do, kick me in the shin? Seriously? Are you afraid of an Ace Hardware employee? Come on.
Probably the girl at the checkout at the tack shop uses an Equity manure fork anyway. So
I'm sure.
EquityMFG.com, best manure forks around. Go get your flexing fork or your shaking fork. Really Bad Ads is brought to you by our listeners also who submit some really bad Craigslist ads, and we have a little fun with them and poke a little fun at them. And today's prize is going to be for the best ad, Jennifer.
Today's prize is
from Uncle Jimmy. I was looking at the picture.
It almost sounded like
the
Jennifer was
going to
be today's prize. The best prize for today's ad is Jennifer.
Jennifer. Yes. From Uncle Jimmy's
hanging balls.
I'm going to
ship her UPS.
FedEx, please, overnight delivery. Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls and licky things help to control stall boredom by providing the horses entertainment in the stall while at the same time providing them much-needed minerals and nutrients that are often found at the bottom of the feed bin. Uncle Jimmy's has training treats covered, too, with Uncle Jimmy's squeezy buns. Every deliciously soft, squishy treat is individually wrapped for freshness, and your pockets don't get gummed up. Ask for Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls, licky things, and squeezy buns at your local tack feed store. Right next will be found right next to the cheap, nasty pitchforks. Yeah.
And you're starting off. You have a special one, don't you, Jamie?
I do. Oh, I forgot to get that. Let me go look at that. Crud. You'll have to get started. I'll be right
back.
All right,
I'll do the first one. All right, and then you can come back with that one. This is by Francine. And Francine sent this to us. There were two short ones she sent. One was for a quarter horse and $900 in Chaffee, Missouri. You're going to love these ads. It was an ad written by the same person, and that's important to remember. Quarter horse, $900. I have a 19-year-old sorrel quarter horse who is neck-reined. I've never had to use spears or a whip on him. Yes, she's never had to use spears or a whip on him. He's a little stubborn getting into trailers. He's 18 hands tall and 19 hands long. Okay, think about that, everybody.
Yeah.
You missed this one, Jamie. I got to read this one to you back. I have never had to use spears or a whip on him. He is a little stubborn getting into trailers. Get this. He is 18 hands tall and 19 hands long. And then get this, the other half of the ad. 11-year-old black pony gelding, $600. Spirit is a cute hackney pony type. Black and white, four socks, and white small star. He is just under 13 hands and about 3 foot wide. Hey, we need this one.
Oh,
he could be a pair for my pony. Mine's about 3 foot wide.
PT's not 3 feet wide. PT's more like 8 inches.
So,
how'd you find yours?
I found it. Sorry, I had to go get my phone, and it was in the baby's room, so I had to tiptoe in there real quietly. So Robin Donahue sent me this email. Remember when I wrote the bad ad for Jet, like joking around about how it was like really bad ad? Well, she sent me one about her horse. She said she thought she'd try her hand at writing her own ad for her OTTB that is never going to ever live anywhere but with her. So it says, for sale, 16 two-hand chestnut thoroughbred gelding. Born in 1992, don't let his age fool you. This gelding is extremely spry for his age when he feels like it. His name on his papers is Bien Phu, but he answers to Hoover. Unfortunately, even though he eats when he feels like it, he does not maintain his weight. This guy is and always has been a hard keeper. His previous owner had to donate him to a rescue since she couldn't afford to feed him anymore. He is current on his shots. His teeth have recently been done. His feet have been trimmed. He's a nice mover but needs an experienced rider. He's great at a walk and trot, but usually bucks when asked to canter. His walk is nice and extended, and he floats at the trot. He used to be a jumper and easily cleared 3.9. Now he's a pasture ornament and a trail horse. He has been trained to drive and was a very fast learner. He enjoyed being paired with my chestnut mare until he saw two white mules driving towards him, and he totally freaked out, causing an accident. He was driven single after that and did okay when he felt like it. The last time I drove him, he laid down while hooked up to the buggy because he didn't want to pull it up a hill.
That's embarrassing, by the way.
Oh, that's good. He has excellent ground manners and will load in a horse trailer if he feels like it. This is my favorite. This includes everything I can currently recall about Hoover. If there are any complaints, please email Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com.
Nice, Robin. Very good, nice. Robin. Winnie feels like it.
Hoover. Rachel, what a name for a horse, too. Hoover. We've had a lot of horses that should have been named Hoover because they just ate everything.
Yeah. Sounds like he eats a lot. I didn't even go into what he ate, but that was on there, too. It's a long list. Rachel sent in the next one, Northern California horse for sale. I didn't know there was a breed, but apparently Northern California horse for sale. 2009 mare by Two Nicks, broke to ride, not afraid to go where you point her. Only selling because I only have one butt and nine horses. Oh, nice, nice. Another short one was sent in by Beth. Saddle for sale, horse for free. Picks will not load. Text me if you want picks of saddle or horse. Short and sweet. The saddle's for sale, but the horse is free.
Tells you how that went. The next one sent in by Holly. That's a new one. Thank you, Holly. Free mule. Small Appy Molly wants new job and a place to crash. .. Free. .. 12 years old or about. .. Free. .. 13 hands tall. .. Free. .. Been standing for 2 years. .. Free. .. She is going to be hard to catch. .. Free. .. Was packed off when younger. .. Free. .. I got her as a riding mule, but never got around to it. .. Free.
Free.
How much is that
what
horse, Jamie?
Is
it's a quiz. How much is it, Jamie?
I don't
you can
know,
do it.
Glenn. I couldn't figure it out.
Wow, free.
We want to get the hell out of that mule, but that's for sure. Oh, gosh. All right, Penny sent in the next one. Penny, thank you. Rooster needs a new home, $10. Oh, God. Nice big rooster. Lost his hens to a bear. Not for consumption.
Well, apparently the hens were.
Oh, can you imagine how scarred he must be? His whole flock, a bear comes in and eats them, and he's like, he's on the top roost, like the bear filled up right before him, and then he, oh, bless his little heart. Poor thing.
Scarred for
oh,
life.
Oh, gosh. Barred for life, poor thing. Ellen sent in this one. These are all really short today. Mare for sale cheap, $1. That's cheap, in Kirby, Ohio. This mare needs a home. She is quite the thrill keeper. I have no problem, but novices riders do. She is sketchy, but she is broke to ride. What does that mean? She likes to fool people, but she does what I ask of her. The current owners are having trouble getting her to be obedient. She needs to be finished. She has great, wonderful pivots. Take the bit. Open to all offers. What?
That's the first time we've ever seen wonderful pivots in an ad.
I don't even
thought it was
know
a good thing.
She likes to fool people. She's not obedient. She pivots. She takes a bit. She's a thrill keeper. What? She's sketchy. That is a really bad ad. I don't even know what I read.
She is sketchy. That's for sure. Hey, the next one, too, is our trailer of the week. And once again, they never, ever disappoint. It's a homemade horse trailer for $500 in Evanston, Wyoming. Friend hauled his mule here from Northern California, dropped it off at my place with the trailer, and never came back for it. Gotta go now. Here's the mule. Here's the trailer. I'll be back for the trailer someday. You can just store it for me. This is the first, though. This is a homemade trailer. And it kind of, it's some sort of solid color of green. It has the round front, but it kind of looks like, who's that guy on Star Trek?
Geordi.
LaForge? Geordi. It looks like
Geordi's
in the front,
LaForge.
Like
God,
Geordi's
nerd.
Glasses. You are a nerd. It looks like Geordi's glasses in the front, But it also kind of looks like they're storing the spare tire up in the upper part there where you see the air conditioning, you know, below the roof. It looks like the spare tire is stored on the wall inside the trailer with the horse.
I don't know what this is. This is a we just have some really special trailers. What?
We do. It's homemade. But did you notice that the air tires have air? It's amazing.
The tires look great. The wood paneling on the sides that kind of worries me.
And the rusted out the metal part on the bottom? That's always bad.
Yeah.
Jennifer will post
scary.
This one. And you know when they drop it off and they say they're coming back for it and never do? It's not good. Okay, don't use it.
Yeah. That's bad. Charlotte sent in the next one. Quarter horse cross, $500 in Ocala, Florida.
Oh, no.
Yay. You know, Glenn, you guys could be horse shopping. I have, get the sound effect ready. Hold on.
I have it. It's ready.
You
it's
got
ready.
It. Okay.
Yes.
I have a black 6-year-old quarter saddlebred gelding for sale, 14.2 hands. He's very willing. He's a beautiful mover. He is built more like a saddlebred. He requires an intermediate or confident rider, still very green. He can get nervous but does calm down. He has more go than I can handle. I've learned a green rider should not be riding a green horse.
Green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close, too far.
Well done, Charlotte. Well done. I love it.
Hey, Charlotte, anytime you can help us use one of our sound effects, you have done well. Denise sent the following in. Quarter horse gelding. 17-year-old registergree. QH gelding, a register agree. Doc is a sweet gooey. I only trail ride him. He will. Oh, it is. It says Doc is a sweet gooey.
One sentence, only... Glenn. No punctuation. No punctuation.
Oh, sorry. I got stuck on gooey. Doc is a sweet gooey. I only trail ride him. He will go out alone if asked, but he doesn't care to. He is very cautious horse. I do not recommend gaming or showing. He gets very grumpy when asked to do much. We had him front does put him on $1,200.
I don't even know what that meant.
We had front does. Don't you know? We had just front does. And he's a gooey.
This is terrible.
Very gooey.
It's a gooey gelding.
That's right. He's had gooey gelding before.
Yeah. Oh, Helen sent in the next one.
Oh, and this isn't that one. That's right next to us.
Oh, good. See, Florida is winning today. 9-year-old TB gelding jumper sell trade, $2,500. So this is kind of pricey, you know. I mean, 9-yo gelding 16 hands clean legged. Has jumped. Needs intermediate to experienced rider because sometimes he bucks. Looking to sell outright. Or, I love this, I will trade him for a beginner safe horse.
Of course
yes,
you will.
Virginia, I would love to get rid of my very well broke horse in the backyard to trade it outright for a really crazy bucking horse just to see what I can do with it. Why do people think people want to do that?
You don't understand, Jamie. He's 9 years old, and he's got clean legs. I mean, hello?
True. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, look at the positive.
Oh, God,
Jody said in the following, I have to read this as it's written. Selling R, TWH mare. She's around 15 hands Oki. Selling because insanely ride Herb anymore, and she is good of a horse as to stand around.
Huh.
We have had her for a little over a year. When we bought her, she was kid safe, but we'll need a refresher because she hasn't been rode all winter. She was bought for my 9-year-old daughter, Hebrides, her all the time because of herself, but her fault, she fell off and now is scared to ride her by herself. I read it as it was written.
You got to read that again. I don't even know what you read.
The last sentence says, "We was bought for my 9-year-old daughter Hebrides, her all the time by herself, but her she fell off and now is scared to ride by herself." You don't understand that, Jamie?
Duh, I'm so stupid.
Catch up.
God, sorry.
Catch up.
I love that
name. It for this
Hebrides.
Week. Hebrides.
Hebrides.
Yeah, Hebrides.
Is that Greek? That's awesome.
I was even trying to figure out what she really meant because she said was bought by my 9-year-old daughter, and it really could be said he brides, but it doesn't make sense even if I try and figure out what the misspelling was. So we'll go with her daughter was named Hebrides.
Yes.
I have no idea.
Oof.
I don't
I kind of liked we have one winner today, and I don't know about you, but I kind of liked Holly's .. free.
I totally agree. The one with the mule, the free donkey, it's free. I don't know if
it's
knew this, but it was free. And I did like Rachel's with she has one button, 9 horses. That was a good one. Ellen had a really good one. The pivots, the horse that pivots. That was also a really good one.
And Francine, we can't overlook because we have never seen a horse that's been 19 hands long. So
that's true. That is true.
But I think we should go with .. free. We got a lot of mileage out of that one. So, Holly Kennedy wins the Uncle Jimmy's Gifts Pack, and I guarantee you, your horses will absolutely love it. Well, Jamie, I don't know about you. I am ready to get the heck out of here. I know that you got a weekend to look forward to. We do, too. Everybody does. So it's Friday the 13th. Nothing has gone disastrously wrong yet. Knock on wood. Let's not tempt fate, and let's cut off the show before Blog Talk does for us.
We're all good. Everybody have a great weekend. Do something horsey. Do something fun. I don't know what I'm going to do this weekend, but it probably includes having a beer because it's the weekend, baby. I can do that now.
Yes, you can. Well, you have a great time. We are out of here. We'll be back here Monday morning. Have a terrific weekend, everybody.
Pay attention.
Oh, wrong one. Let's try this one. See? Friday,
Thursday.
This show was brought to you through the generous support of .. free.